Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency.
Family members will sack other family members. Family members will sue other family members. And they are the tribunal cases that always end up going all the way to the end.
They've both raised grievances.
Yeah.
It's like, in my head, it's just going to go around in circles. So what are you going to do then if they're both raising grievances?
For once, the employer's kind of just caught in the crosshairs here.
Got no to do with it. We have the power of free speech in the UK. Shouldn't I be allowed to express my political views at work?
One of the good cases around this, which I absolutely love to cite, and you know what? I've cited it so much that maybe I could almost convince myself it's an urban myth.
Just before we start, protect your business from the risk of tribunal, reduce legal costs, and save yourself from HR headaches with our Heroes software and employment law consultancy services.
Family feuds at work. Should we start it like that?
Do you want to sing it? Do you want a theme tune with
it? I'll sing it in, yeah. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to HRER, another episode. Listening, watching, all that stuff. We're going to talk about family feuds at work today.
Yeah, and we're back in the swing of it.
We are. Well, you know what we're doing now. You've had your first one back and you're feeling confident.
I think so. I feel like I need to bring more energy to this one.
You do?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I thought you were saying I did. Then I thought you need. I thought you said
no,
you.
I'm not going to give you feedback like
on live.
That would be brutal, wouldn't it?
Under the bus. Yeah. We're going to look at political things today and like political opinions in the workplace because we've all got opinions.
Yeah.
Haven't we?
There's the added flavour to this one, though, that it's got a family element to it as well, which always makes things, say, a little bit more difficult in the workplace.
New level of intensity when family's involved. I think your stubbornness, like, goes up by, like, plus 50.
Oh, 100%. People don't like to back down with family, do they? And, I mean, it's something I'll come on to in a bit more detail, but some of the most toxic employment tribunals I've ever worked have involved family members. Not my family members, where you've got people in the same family who end up suing each other. They are not the ones that back down. It's their, and the people lose all perspective.
It's like bragging rights, isn't it? I feel like.
I don't know. I think their pride when it comes to having to either admit you were wrong or pay off a family member.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's something that just doesn't quite connect. But anyway, we'll get into it as we get through the scenario.
It's difficult to do. Let's start with the email. Hi, Alyssa. I'm looking for some advice on a situation that's boiling, given how heated the political conversation is in the UK right now. Let's start with a metaphor.
Yeah.
Very good. Two employees, who are father and son, have fallen out over a political issue they strongly disagree on. What started as a discussion outside of work has now carried into the office. There has been tense exchanges in meetings and a few emails have made things uncomfortable for the rest of the team. To complicate it further, their uncle, I'm assuming the son's uncle, so... Mm-hmm. Dad's brother owns the business. The situation has escalated and both employees have now submitted formal grievances against each other, each claiming the other's political comments violate something or other.
Okay, cause some sort of offence.
Yeah. They got sad.
I mean, it's... I hate it when people talk about politics at work. And it's one of those things as well, like when you have friends around for dinner or you go out with friends, like... There's people I know I can talk politics with and there's people I know that I definitely can't.
Yeah.
Because some people, their opinion is the only opinion and they'll take any disagreement with that or any alternative view as an attack. And I think we're in a really weird political climate in the UK right now where some people seem afraid to say that they align with a certain political party because you get hate as a result or people will call you names. Mm-hmm. And I don't always remember it being like that. Maybe it was, maybe I was just too young perhaps to appreciate it. But I think, one, the political elite don't help the situation where you've got, I mean, the one that always stands out for me is Angela Rayner calling Tory scum.
You don't like her, do you?
I don't like her. But I also don't like, I don't like that. I think if you are in a position where you are engaging in political debate and you're a political leader, you should be able to use alternative language other than name calling.
No, I agree.
And also, I think if the people at the top of the party are calling names, it makes it okay then for that to kind of filter down.
Mm-hmm.
And for it to become very personal and very heated. Like, I think you should be able to have debate without falling out. And I don't think that our current political parties are very good at that.
Seems very tit for tat. You watch like PM questions or whatever the hell they call it. And they're just
And it does. It becomes very, very personal rather than about political position. So there's that side of it. And the other bit that I don't like as well is that if you hold certain political opinions, that people will say that that indicates something about your personality or how well educated you are. Or, you know, again, rather than kind of going, well, actually, let's discuss the issues around welfare, immigration, you know, defense, whatever, it becomes, well, because you think that, you must be an idiot.
Well, I've read this on Twitter this morning and they're right.
Yeah, don't get me started on social media and politics.
Social media politician is like, it should be a job occupation nowadays.
I think you should be able to have two people of opposing political views who can sit in a room and calmly debate it and leave the room still as friends.
Mm-hmm.
That is becoming increasingly harder because I think people are struggling to maintain any semblance of, I don't know, not letting personal opinions or name calling, you know, filter down into
it. I say this to Jim a lot. Like I've said to him a lot in the past. It's not me originally said it, but it's like a skill to disagree well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's hard. People are great at disagreeing.
Yeah.
But it normally ends in handbags and, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like shouting and that. If you can disagree well and go, oh no, all right, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
or understand that you don't have to change somebody else's opinion. And I think that is a trend at the moment as well, is that people, unless you're prepared to agree with them, they will violently disagree with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Passionate.
And I've got friends that I have disagreed with things in the past. So people who've got, you know, a certain religion or political belief, we can have a sensible discussion. I go, oh, it's really interesting that you think like that. I understand your point of view now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with it, but I understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it becomes an interesting discussion rather than I'm upset with you because you don't agree with me.
We've got to be more curious.
Yeah.
No one, everyone thinks they know it all.
And accept that people can disagree with you, that it's not a personal affront if they don't agree with you.
No, no. The main thing about, I've seen at the minute, like, is obviously the past few years been the Palestine thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people saying like free Palestine. If you don't say that, like, if you don't outwardly say free Palestine, like, you're this and you're that. And with respect, I don't care.
Yeah.
We don't live anywhere near there.
Yeah.
The UK's got things going on. And we've got things going on, haven't we? We can't look after our own
people.
We've
got enough problems over here. But the thing that I really struggle with is if you are a reform supporter, you're a racist. If you are a Green, you're a lunatic. If you're a Tory, then you're this. If you're like, stop it. Like,
it's almost as if there's like pre-pigeonholed slots.
It is. And actually, our politics is so much more complicated than that. It's, that winds me up anyway. So that's the kind of background that we're coming to, is that people do get really, really heated about this stuff to the point where people will graffiti things in public and they will smash people's windows because they've got certain political beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I think it's a bit of a myth that we live in a society anymore where there is true freedom of speech, because people are afraid to even say what political party that they support or what they, who they vote for.
Or what they think.
And I will almost never make a point of asking somebody in an election who they voted for, because I know it makes people uncomfortable actually to say, rather than having any sort of patriotism or pride in where you've nailed your colours to the mast, is people don't want to talk about it because they're afraid of what the repercussions are.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm going to give him flowers here, but our old mate Michael, to his credit, he would never vote based on what party he liked. Never. I've spoken to him about it once or twice. He said like he always voted for different people depending on what policies they had. Yeah. Like he was fluid with it.
But that's what you should do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because political parties move. So I think that gives us a decent backdrop to this, which is, you know, how people can get so het up about
bogged
this
down
sort
with
of
it
thing.
All. Yeah, definitely.
And particularly within families, because I think you're more likely to say something extreme in front of another family member.
Safer environment, innit?
Yeah, you're more likely to kind of measure yourself, I think, a little bit more at work or maybe with colleagues, whereas with your family, you're much more likely to be frank.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think when you've got a situation like this, it's a real kind of tinderbox. So we've got political discussion, two opposing beliefs, family members, so they really will be saying what they think and probably not holding back on the language that they're using. And they're also working together, so they're spending a lot of time together. So this really is a situation that is absolutely ripe to
catch fire,
to kind of go bang. Yeah. Let's dive into the questions then and see where we go with this one.
First one, we spoke a little bit about this before, I think, but like before the podcast, for reference.
Mm-hmm.
they've both raised grievances.
Yeah.
It's like a, in my head, it's just going to go around in circles. So what are you going to do then if they're both raising grievances?
So one doesn't cancel the other out. So right. We don't just kind of go, well, you've both raised them, therefore we're not going to do anything. In principle, we should be investigating both. Mm-hmm. If someone has raised a formal grievance, technically under policy, we should then be launching into investigation. This is one of those where I'm almost going to suggest we bend the rules a little bit.
All right.
Which I don't think I've ever said that on podcast.
I think I've heard you say that. You're normally like very by the book.
I'm normally like, right, policy says this. This is what we need to do. This is a situation where, because of all the stuff I've just said about it being a bit of a tinderbox and it involving family members and politics, and they've both raised grievances, let's see if we can mediate this one before it goes anywhere.
Oh, it's like a bit of a meeting.
This is one where I'd be thinking, can we just, is there any scope in this situation to turn the temperature down before we have to go put a match to it?
Okay.
Because you can guarantee with both of those grievances, they are going to be making complaints against each other and neither one of them is going to want to back down. So once you start investigating, you start taking witness statements. Mm-hmm. So you start asking them in detail, right, tell me your allegations. Tell me why you're not happy. Give me all the stuff, good stuff I need to write a report. You're going to get even more detail. You're going to get even more inflammatory stuff from them. Mm-hmm. If this is also then spilling out into the workplace, we've got to be interviewing their colleagues. So then you're going to be getting people who are either agreeing with people, not agreeing with people, also using inflammatory language, saying what they think about people. Mm-hmm. This is going to spread.
If you aren't careful, you're going to start some extremism.
It is. And the likelihood is you're either going to lose one of them or both of them. Mm-hmm. And the chances are there's also going to end up being a tribunal against the business, who actually aren't really, the business is, for once, the employer's kind of just caught in the crosshairs here.
Got no to do with it, in my opinion. Anyway.
Exactly. And what they are almost using the business for here is the judge and jury in their dispute. Yeah, it's the battleground, right. So this is one of them where maybe before we all start firing drones and rockets at each other, maybe we just sit the world leaders down and go, are we sure we want to
do this?
Are we sure we want to do this?
Get the money for this.
Yeah. You know, do we want to be dragging everybody else and all our surrounding compatriots into this situation you know, starve the world of oil? Do we want to be doing all of that? Or can we just sit the two of you down and let you just have a fist fight in a room together?
Simple,
I didn't say that. But, you know, do we need to be dragging everybody else into this collateral damage if we can avoid it early doors?
Yeah.
So this is actually a situation where, okay, yes, strictly, we've had formal grievances raised. They've not done this informally. We should be following that due process immediately. Mm-hmm. I'd be saying, I'm not saying that we're not going to do that. I'm just saying maybe we just try and slot a little stage in between where we see if we can cool this thing down. Because having a couple of difficult and quite carefully worded conversations now could save us months of hassle.
Is that with the aim of completely avoiding a possible process, like a grievance process?
Yeah, the idea of avoiding the grievance.
We don't want to do any of that.
We don't really want to do that. Nobody in this situation, nobody wants these grievances apart from these two people.
Would you, in this situation, get in a meeting and just say, this is nothing to do with work?
Problem is, if they're having this fallout at work, it is. They are still colleagues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the fact that there is this family relationship and they're talking about stuff that's not work related, if one says, I am being subjected to negative behavior because of my political beliefs, that is a protected characteristic. It's a potential discrimination. Yeah. Your face is like, it's a potential discrimination complaint.
That word on the list I got a few years ago. Politics.
Yeah. It's belief, isn't it? Political or religious belief. People forget that
it's pseudoscience, though, isn't it?
Well,
it's made up.
It's a potential protective belief.
All right.
So, you know, if you have someone who is a big Tory advocate and then someone else calls them Tory scum, it's not just down the pub banter. It could get someone in a lot of trouble. So before, like I said, you know, this is something that really has got the ability to set the workplace on fire. Before we get to that collateral damage, if we have got any way of diffusing this, if there are legitimate complaints in those, and by legitimate, what I'm not saying is that we take a knee-jerk reaction to those grievances, but look, we're going to scan through them, aren't we, and have a look. And if it's just, I don't like his political opinions, you know, he said this, 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 and this. If it's a bit of that, you know, the two of them just tit for tat, fine. If actually we've got one cornering the other, making physical threats, saying either you stop talking about the green movement or I'm going to deck you.
Got a problem with the Green Party, have you?
That's, well, that's different, isn't it? You know, mm. that's someone who, you know, there's a threat of violence, whatever. So, yes, if there is something here where we've got some serious allegations about behaviour in the workplace that could potentially lead to disciplinary action, we are going to have to go down that formal route. But if these two are using the workplace as their battleground mm-hmm. and it's six of one and half a dozen of the other, I'm going to want to try and mediate this.
Yeah, yeah.
To try and stop it getting into that.
If it was a bit more like the first one where you've got one guy cornering another guy, mm-hmm. you can maybe, that maybe bleeds over into bullying.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah, 100%.
And you can justify that a bit more by going down that
route. Well, we don't even really need to justify it because we have the formal grievances. So if when we take the scan through, we see, yeah, actually there is some serious stuff going on in the background where, you know, somebody is a victim of unacceptable behaviour at work, we investigate the grievances, we make a finding, we launch the disciplinary process and we deal with it in the same way as we would everything else. But if on first glance, and I mean first glance, this appears tit for tat, maybe we don't sit them down together, maybe it's separate rooms and just try and understand where they're coming from before we have a go at that mediation step. If it's clear it's not going to work, fine, we fire up the grievance processes and we do what we need to do. Mm-hmm. But at least we've given that opportunity to try and diffuse it. Because if later on all of this does go belly up, we don't want to be criticised actually for inflaming matters.
Right, okay.
So if we have launched the grievance process, gone through this super formal investigation and witnesses and whatever, and actually someone later down the line goes, do you know what? I was just kind of venting a little bit. If I'd been given the opportunity for this to be resolved informally, I would have done. We don't want to be criticised for that.
No. It's not very humane.
So yeah, I am suggesting we bend the rules a little bit here.
That's the first time you've ever said that. I know.
Imagine how scary the world would be if I made that habit.
You calm down.
Me, the big rule follower.
Calm down.
Too much caffeine today. Let's crack on.
Last question from a HR perspective. Our political beliefs, they are, we've asked this.
Yeah.
You said they're protected under UK employment law, which blew my head off. I said that one, I swear that went on my, I had training years ago from a woman called Tasita Small. From the small HR company who Jim had a meeting with this week.
Yeah.
A potential white label customer. I swear political beliefs weren't on that list.
It's so.
This was like 2021 for reference.
The law hasn't changed since then.
Okay.
What the law protects is beliefs that are worthy of protection in a democratic society and that are genuinely held.
Right.
So one of the good cases around this, which I absolutely love to cite, and you know what? I've cited it so much that maybe I could almost convince myself it's an urban myth, but I'm pretty sure it was a case.
Right.
Someone who had various beliefs around Darth Vader. So was an absolute avid, I don't know what, Darth Vaderism something. I don't know.
Like a super fan.
Super fan.
Right.
Yeah. So we're down this kind of sort of obsession route, I think. Okay. And I use this when I do quite a lot of going out doing the training as well. You're going to look for it now, aren't you? Yeah. And in this case, it was found that that was not a belief that was worthy of respect in a democratic society. And the fact that he was picked on for being a Darth Vader super fan, he wasn't discriminated against.
Right. Okay.
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 You didn't take any of that in, did you? You're too busy looking.
I'm sorry,
you.
I'm looking
to see if you
case.
Can find it. Say it. We then had another case years later around ethical veganism, where there was someone who lived and breathed by their vegan beliefs. So wouldn't wear leather, wouldn't buy products that had any animal products in them.
Okay.
Protested when the new banknotes came out because the fibers have got animal products in. That sort of level of living their life as an ethical vegan, not just I eat a vegan diet. So you've got I eat a vegan diet and then there's the next level, which is ethical veganism.
Yeah. I respect it a bit.
Yeah, exactly. That was found to be deserving of the respect of a democratic society. Someone who absolutely rejects animal products and says, I'm not going to live my life involving them in any way.
Fair play.
That was sufficient to be a belief that held protection under the Equality Act. So it could be discrimination. Political beliefs, by their very nature, are beliefs that justify the respect of a democratic society because they are what our democratic society is wrapped up in.
Right.
So if you were to bully someone because of their political beliefs, that could incur the wrath of the Equality Act.
By heck.
So the only thing I would maybe suggest is that maybe on your training that maybe your trainer didn't believe that you actually held those beliefs.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. Maybe just weren't listening, Ollie.
Maybe. It does happen a lot. I was a different man now. Yeah. I was 20. I'd been young 20s, so I don't know.
So yes, they can be protected. If they're a bit wacky and a bit out there, not deserving of, what I said, the respect of within a democratic society. So it doesn't mean that you can just come up with anything and then say, well, I'm being picked on because I have this belief.
Do you have to run this by anyone?
No, the judge will decide what is
there and then.
Yeah, yeah. Whether it is one, if it is something that should be protected under the Equality Act, and then the case will then hang on whether
that's not reliable because the judge different judges.
Well, I love your confidence in our judicial system.
I don't know.
You can say that about anything. Of course, well,
different views. You know what I mean? Different.
Which is why, you know, for litigators, for employment lawyers particularly, when we talk about risk. And a client will often come and say, am I going to win or am I going to lose this? It's the very lawyer response is, well, it depends. So it not only does it depend on evidence, witnesses, you know, everything that goes into the case preparation, but there is a lot of stuff that comes down to judicial discretion. So we cannot accurately predict the outcome of a case, absolutely, because judicial mood shifts.
Yeah, yeah.
So years and years and years ago, things that wouldn't have been found necessarily to be a disability. So when we think of disability discrimination, I remember when I first entered practice years ago, depression, anxiety were less likely to be found to be disabilities. Mm-hmm. You had to really, really show that it was absolutely chronic, basically rendered you unable to do anything.
Yeah.
Whereas now...
Anyone.
I mean, I'm not going to go that far.
You can go to the doctor and say, I cried last night, and they'll sign you off work.
I don't think that means necessarily you'll win a disability discrimination claim, but taking your facetious example, yes, it is much easier. Hundreds of GPs tell BBC they've never refused to win it. Yes, but that's different. That's a different discussion. So that's the ability to get a sick note. No, you haven't won the point, Ollie. That's the difference between how easy it is to get a GP to sign you off sick versus convincing a judge that you've got a disability under the Equality Act. They're mm-hmm. two different things. But judges are now much more prepared to recognise conditions as disabilities, I would say now, compared to lots of years ago.
I'd agree with that. World's gone soft. Game's gone. I don't believe that. Those are not my views. We'll go on to employee questions now. I immediately have a problem with this statement. We have the power of free speech in the UK. Shouldn't I be allowed to express my political views at work?
You can express your political opinions at work, but you do not have the right to cause someone else a negative work environment as a result.
Oh.
So if expressing your political beliefs impacts on somebody else's welfare or whatever, then no, you don't have an unfettered right to say whatever you want. And we have to remember the workplace is not somewhere for political lobbying or recruitment. It is a workplace. So some workplaces will say, look, we don't want political discussion in work.
Depends where you work.
Ours isn't like that. No. Though. But we have to think, is it suitable for a professional environment? And if you're someone who can't keep a lid on it without getting upset, overexcited, mm-hmm. angry, and can't express yourself in a respectful way, then the workplace is not the place to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Second question, it's a family member. Surely they won't sack me. That is such a typical...
Oh, they definitely will.
Yeah?
Oh, they definitely will.
I'd say even more
family,
so.
Family members will sack other family members. Family members will sue other family members. And they are the tribunal cases that always end up going all the way to the end. Because when it comes to discussions around things like settlement, for some reason, people don't like... There's this weird blockade that they come across when you think, oh, I'll settle with an employee. Yes, there's a pride thing. Yes, there's a backing down thing. Yes, it can kind of feel like I'm paying off for my principles. When you add family into that dynamic, people just don't, for some reason, they don't want to do it. And I remember representing, this was years ago, World Before Heroes. I remember representing somebody in a family dispute and it was just vicious.
Mm-hmm.
They're recruiting other family members against each other. You know, getting them both to, frankly, shut up in tribunal was a nightmare. They became so emotional about the whole thing in a way that perhaps with work stuff, you can maybe switch off a bit more,
mm-hmm.
but it becomes so much more personal. So yeah, whenever I'm advising somebody and there's a family dynamic, I'm always like, do you really want this to escalate? Because often there's no going back and it's very, very hard to repair those relationships.
I can't recall if you said it at the start of the podcast or before we started filming, but you mentioned that you're more likely to be frank and like more of who you are with your family, aren't you?
Yeah.
Which can be a fucking dangerous thing.
It can. And I mean, I remember on this particular family one, I almost remember that tribunal minute by minute.
Right. Trauma.
Possibly. Just because constantly, you know, I'd be in the middle of, I don't know, questioning or submissions or something like that. So this was one I did on my feet. We didn't use a barrister. We won, by the way. Of course we won. It was me. And I just remember, like, the woman on the other side just kept interrupting me. And I remember looking at the judge being like, if this woman interrupts me one more time, because you don't, there's courtesy in tribunal, and they just lost all of that.
You've got to like wait to speak in court.
You do. So you, yeah. And you know, so I'd be in the middle of questioning someone else and she sat at the back trying to be like, that didn't happen. Oh. And you're like, oh, this is not how this goes. And I remember her being warned by the judge, like, if you speak out of turn one more time.
Don't they just get rid of people? Like,
remove them. But also, you know, this, the other side, I was acting for the respondent. So she was the claimant. And I think it got to the point where the judge was like, you are making the proceedings impossible at some point. Yeah. This is all just gonna come to an end. And I've never ever had to regulate my composure so much before, where literally I was in, like, if I could have gone and put my head in a pillow and screamed at one of the breaks, I would have done.
It's the kind of thing where you lose your track. I bet you lose your track of thinking, wouldn't you, as well?
It's just a bit alien, because you're so used to, particularly where both parties say represented and whatever, and everybody knows the rules of the game. It's very hard when you've got someone who doesn't know the rules of the game. Once they know the rules of the game, won't listen to them, because they're so obsessed with, no, my point of view
is right.
Absolutely has to be heard and is right. Yeah. And it's like it's on steroids when you're in a family dynamic with it. It's
stubbornness.
It's really, yeah, just
turn it right up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a strange thing, isn't it? Really is a strange thing.
I don't think I've ever looked at a judge in a pleading way before, where I've been like, please, please get this person under control.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. Mm. What measures can HR departments take to prevent these kind of things happening in future? Don't employ family members.
Problem is, when it's a family business and you've got family people in the business, it is difficult. Try and split people up, I think,
different departments
as well. Different
stuff.
Departments, if you can. As weird as it is, because I don't like legislating for stupid. So I don't like having to make rules about things that are common sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think when you see handbooks that are like 500 pages long and you've got rules about the most ridiculous things, I think, well, why do you even have to write this down? And then things like this happen and you think, oh, that's why we have to write things down. You know, saying, look, we're not going to ban political discussion at work, but if it starts to affect relationships and you're found to have not used professional behaviour and decorum, you'll land yourself in a disciplinary. And also training. So training people about, you know, the rules around discrimination. So you weren't clear on the fact that political beliefs can be protected characteristics.
No.
Making sure that people understand that this isn't just around free speech and having your say and wanting to win your argument and convince people to come over to your side, is that you can actually land yourself in legal hot water, because remember, discrimination can be brought against individuals. In this situation, they don't necessarily have to sue the company.
Oh, heck.
They could litigate against each other. In which case, employer would be like, results, I'm out with this. You go and take your battleground somewhere else.
Dearie me. Apart from that, we've got grievance modules in the system. We've got a disciplinary module.
Yeah. All the good stuff that means that, you know, in addition to having to deal with the cluster mess that this is, me regulating my language,
that
you know, you're not having to then think, what's the right process for this? What's the right procedure? The right templates, whatever. It's there and it's in the system. So.
Your headaches are limited to the dealing with the people involved. Yeah, I'll unfold my arms because mother always tells me off about that.
I was literally just about to say as well, you can tell that you've listened to your mother because you're doing the whole, what are we selling?
Yeah.
You keep prompting me on system stuff. So it's good.
There is notes here, but I'm making an effort, like.
Yeah.
Glad to be noticed. Thanks for notice. Yeah. Nothing else to cover. Good podcast. Like, comment, subscribe. Cheers.
Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media, or even HRER@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect, but by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier, and more productive workplaces.